From a warm spot in the cockles of my heart, in the darkest recesses of my mind, it's Joculation with your host, LB Faust. Joculation is an interactive social broadcast hosted by the cultural attaché to the SARS and ringmaster of the shit show himself, LB Faust. It features original satire, comedy, punk rock, and humorous bits every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. Due to copyright restrictions, all segments which feature music from other artists and performers have been removed from this recording. On with the show. So happy Friday to you guys. I made it over here. It was kind of funny because I was actually thinking I might not have made it in. You know why? Because real life. That's why. But I didn't. Instead, I went ahead and decided to show up here. And look at that, man. We're here on a Friday night. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host. This is Joculation, as always. So I was talking to Ron earlier. It was kind of funny because, like, pre-show, I'm always sitting over in the corner there. And, you know, you're trying to make that shift, that transition from where you're at dealing with the day-to-day into, okay, now I've got to sit here and entertain people for 2 hours. So you have to go ahead and make that click. And it's kind of funny because I found this one band I was listening to, and it reminded me so much of, like, when I was younger in the 80s. Yeah, that's when I was wandering around and all that sort of shit. And I was enjoying, like, you know, stadium rock and shit like that. At any rate, so we got into this conversation. And I tell Ron, you know, damn, I miss the 80s. He's like, well, why? I said, because, man, it was cocaine and parties and, like, you know, all kinds of fun shit, DeLoreans, you know, all the crazy shit that was going on at that particular time. And I said, you know, it would have been cool. So we're going back and forth, and the question comes up, so, you know, cocaine, huh? And I said, not really my drug of choice at the time. However, I actually did go ahead and live, or my junior high school was right at the end of Cocaine Alley. So if you've never been to Miami, what winds up happening is in the part of town that I lived in, there is a place called Cocaine Alley. And Cocaine Alley were all these long, these fucking huge lots, these estates that all of the different drug kingpins owned. And it lined the street that ran right in front of my school. So all the drug kingpins from South America were sending their kids to my junior high school. So yeah, man, I lived right at the edge of Cocaine Alley over there, and it made for interesting times. It made for interesting times growing up, but yeah, that's something for another time. We got other things we got to go ahead and cover over here. You know, lots to cover as usual. One of the things we should probably do that wasn't part of the show is apparently DMX is now officially dead. There was a lot of talk about whether or not he was actually dead. First, he was in a vegetative state. And then his publicist is like, no, he's not dead yet. He's not dead. Stop saying that. And then the family comes out and says, he's dead now. And the publicist is like, I would appreciate it if all these rumors and shit would stop going around. And I'm thinking to myself, somebody's paycheck is at stake here. You know what I'm saying? I mean, dude, your paycheck is going to be gone anyways because the guy that you represent is freaking gone. So, you know, we're going to have to go ahead and actually kind of, I don't know, sort it out. Sorted out. But also in the news, you know, there was that Kourtney Kardashian type thing going on where, oh my God, you can't take a look at my, like, bikini pictures that have not been altered. And then you had, like, you know, Piers Morgan ripping the shit out of them and all that stuff. But more importantly, other things have happened that were probably far more important than that. So for instance, one of the things that happened this week that we all got to go ahead and be thankful for is apparently now, like, the final two passengers have been named for the first all-civilian mission to orbit the Earth. Check that shit out. So the billionaire, Jarek Isaacman, financing the SpaceX flight that will carry the first non-professional everyday people, allegedly, into orbit in September, announced the final two members of his four-person crew. So Tuesday, he added an artist educator and an aerospace worker. I thought they said that they were everyday people. I guess you got to throw in, like, you know, the freaking, you know, aerospace engineer just in case, right? Especially when you're flying on a SpaceX rocket. So he says, quote, I believe history will record inspirational and pivotal moment, this inspirational and pivotal moment of space as any of as another important step towards humanity's great rendezvous with destiny in our space. Do we think that this is some fucking great...
How about new?
No, man. I mean, let's go ahead and dissect this a little bit first, right? Yeah, he was Pfizer'd, all right. So first off, Mr. Isaacman, Jerry, if I may. Charity, you say, huh? Is that like a personal vanity project on the scale of the pyramid building in ancient Egypt? I mean, I could swear I read something out there about like a free case of beluga caviar and a pair of briefs with Elon's Musk face painted across the ass with each flight purchased. Although, as I understand it, some restrictions do apply. Now listen, Jerry, just because you decided to create a pleb raffle for this self-funded space trip in the age of Animal Farm-style inclusiveness, let's clear up a few things. One, this does not make you some inspirational and pivotal moment in freaking human history. And two, you know, the Elon Musk commemorative medal stolen from a Cracker Jack box does not somehow validate that you're a real fucking astronaut. You know what I'm saying? Holy fucking shit here, man. Do we think he's a real astronaut, Carlos? I'm just curious.
No.
Nah, man. Bro, listen. You bought a trip on someone else's rocket, okay? It's like buying a fucking first-class ticket on a cruise ship and telling the world you were the captain of the ship and successfully sailed across the Atlantic with you and the team you led. You know what I'm saying? And saying this could not have happened without your infusion of capital is kind of like a prostitute saying your orgasm couldn't have happened without her vagina. You know what I mean? Something to that effect. Do we understand where we're going with this whole thing? Nah, I mean, come on, let's be real here, right? It comes off more like some sort of, like, shitty high-budget remake of a Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory or some, like, terrible sequel to the movie, but with, like, a few key differences. Like, first, you know, Willy Wonka at least legitimately made the candy he claimed the fame for, and, like, Gene Wilder captures the essence of eccentric creator much better than, and more sincerely than, you. So, when I look at you, I, like, get this melodoriferous emanation of, like, entitlement and false self-aggrandizement wafting from your general direction. So, I'll tell you what. Since it's allegedly a charity-based competition, and given the recent history of setbacks and violent explosions of Elon Musk's SpaceX engines, I got an idea. True charity would be to replace the crew with the Kardashians and, like, open a betting line on survivability with the proceeds going to a charitable cause. I mean, like, either way, society as a whole benefits. Am I right? Right? I mean, come on, man. What's the worst that could possibly happen? And by the way, they're going to have a new fucking show over on Hulu because, you know, you can't get enough fame whoring. I mean, you can't walk away from the fame whore trough and sit there and say, yay, happy ending. Thank God that shit show is over, without going ahead and saying, hey, by the way, we're not quite ready to give up our fame whoring and all that stuff and walk away from the trough. So I'll tell you what, we're going to go ahead and put a new show on, right?
Fuck you, fucking fuckers.
Oh, fuck me, man. Can we ever get rid of them? Or is it kind of like, you know, catching HIV or herpes where you'll never get rid of that shit? I'm thinking it's probably the latter. So like this past week, well, first, let's back up. As I'm sitting here putting more and more expensive fireworks for a tax write-off. Well, I guess if you're Elon Musk, they probably are, right? Holy shit, man. And if only we can go ahead and launch the Kardashians up there with them, right? Good Lord, it'd only be doing us a civil service. But, you know, as I'm sitting here taking a look at this, I'm thinking to myself, the more I develop and cut and edit and publish satire and comedy shows, the more I'm convinced you have to be a bit broken and fucked up in some way to produce this stuff.
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
Because, see, like, when you think about it, creators of comedy and satire, we live in a world where the art that we create is inspired from some sort of the unacknowledged, ugliest, and most messed up parts of the human condition. Should I say that like Cope? The human condition, right? I mean, let's get real here. So I'm becoming a little bit more active on Twitter, and the platform's AI thoughtfully suggested, based upon the tweets that I put up there, that I should probably follow the inspirational quotes topics. And that just made me sit here and ask the question, dude.
I mean, what the fuck?
I mean, of all the shit to go ahead and say, hey, you know what, LP? I'm thinking, I'm looking at your tweets over here, and I'm thinking what we should do is we should hook you up with some people over here
that are going ahead and popping up inspirational quotes every day. Listen, man, I get I'm not an influencer, and even the people that follow me on Twitter don't really engage, but now it's nice to know that even the Twitter bots can't be bothered to keep up false pretenses that they're, like, paying attention, you know? Kind of like the Theta and Vim bots, which, by the way, I don't see any more waving of hands and shit like that over here, saying, hi! So, like, when the Twitter bot slides into the DMs with some fucking topic suggestions, it's like that work colleague you've never heard from go after you, you know, like after you guys go your separate ways and shit like that, and suddenly phones you up out of nowhere to projectile vomit a bunch of insincere banter before asking if you'd be a reference for a job they're interviewing for. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, what the fuck?
So at any rate, uh-oh, am I, like, losing track of what's going on in the room? Probably. Twitter thinks I have suicidal tendencies. Not quite, dude. Not quite. So I'm like, inspirational quotes? Hey, Twitter, since you're not fucking paying attention, let me help you out a bit. My inspirational rants are like the equivalent of a drunk Mel Gibson offering constructive feedback as a life coach to the stars. So I'm thinking, like, the Remy quotes that you guys are throwing into my fucking feed over here, they might not align with my interests. They might just not align very closely. I mean, if you serve me up some, like, Joss Whedon inspirational quotes from the set of Justice League, maybe, I might be fooled into thinking you're paying attention. And you're asking yourself, LP, what the fuck are you talking about? Joss Whedon-inspired quotes. Well, apparently, according to some reports, Joss Whedon had some inspiring quotes for Gal Gadot over there, right? According to The Hollywood Reporter, a quoted witness who later spoke with the investigators as part of the studio's look into the production, who said, quote, Joss was bragging that he's had it out with Gal. He told her he's the writer and she's going to shut up and say the lines, and he can make her look incredibly stupid in this movie. So, hey, Gal, just wanted to find out, okay, could you please shut up and say the lines? I mean,
did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
I mean, holy shit, once upon a time, right, trolling required a ton of effort. You had to search through all the accounts and tweets on Twitters just to verify you had the right account for the vapid asshole you're looking for to troll. Because why? Because LP was suddenly inspired after reading that quote to send a tweet to Mr. Joss Whedon. And of course, I CC'd Gal Gadot on that one. But yeah, I went ahead and I sent a nice little tweet over to Joss. And I told him, why am I trying to pull this from memory when I can just pull up my freaking thing over here? What was it that I said to Joss the other day? Looking forward to hearing how the PR firm told Joss to, quote, shut up and say the lines because they wrote the insincere apology to save his career. Am I right, Gal? And, you know, I mean, Joss replied to me, and of course he had a lot to say. He was like, dude.
Fuck you, fucking fucker! You know,
but no, he didn't reply to me. Of course he didn't. Why the fuck would he? Twitter doesn't even fucking reply to me! At any rate, so that being said, so when you think about it, like, Twitter's awesome in the sense of, like, through the inspired and egocentric power of fame, whoredom, and vanity, the Twitter blue check mafia, now Twitter makes it effective. Excuse me, I'm fucking tripping over my lines over here. Let's try this one more time, shall we? Through the inspired and egocentric power of fame, whore, vanity, and the Twitter blue check mafia, now Twitter makes effective targeted trolling so much easier and convenient by blue check verifying the account you want to troll that it is, in fact, the asshole in question. It is the most magical fucking thing you could possibly imagine. Now, if only they could, like, tie in Quora somehow so that you can monetize your trolling, that would be even better. But I digress, man. Anyone else thinking our loquacious antagonist, Joss Whedon's having, like, a small case of, like, blue check regret right about now? He's thinking to himself, fuck, man, why did I verify my account? Fuck, now everybody can go ahead and even come after me about this shit. Even that guy over there, that person that I never acknowledge, he's got some smart-ass shit. I'm turning into the butt end of everybody's fucking joke, right? Now, just stop and think about it. Imagine if the blue check homes thing was a real thing. Only, what if we changed it a little bit so that they're awarded to the most hated and the most hated of the verified accounts? This way, we can not only make sure that we get some effective trolling online that's targeted purposefully, we can also make sure that all the eggs are thrown at the proper house as they're driving by. You know what I'm saying? It's all about efficiency, man. It's always about efficiency. And gal, don't worry, man. If you don't have that, you've always got reality television. And for that matter, Joss, you could do it too. Only what I'd have tell you to avoid is you might want to stay away from like Naked and Afraid. Because apparently there was a Naked and Afraid contestant that couldn't handle biting insects crawling into her vaginal lips. So according to our fantastic news article that we've got up over here, the Chihuahuan Desert was the backdrop for Sunday's Naked and Afraid. And the swarms of biting gnats and colonies of stinging ants that inhabited the area left a contestant, Megan, in a little bit of misery. Quote, the feeling of them crawling into my private parts and areas of my body that I don't want them in is just a little too much for me. They're swarming me. They crawl up in between my vagina lips. I can't handle it. Now, let's just digress for 1 second here, right? First and foremost, why the fuck would anybody ever want to go on Naked and Afraid? Great compelling argument here. Why don't you go ahead and strip down and have absolutely no fucking cover whatsoever and wander around and try to go ahead and live? Are you going to give me any supplies? No. Are you going to give me any clothes? No. Do we have a shelter? No. Where are you going to put me? In the middle of that pack of lions. And by the way, you've got to build your own, like, thorn ring around you while you're naked. And try to avoid getting eaten by the lions over there. I mean, who in the fuck would actually think about doing that sort of thing? You know what I'm saying? I bet you I know who would.
Woo!
Yeah, Ric Flair would probably do that. But outside of him, right? So first things first. Let's start with the obvious, right? Naked and Afraid is not really a compelling brand. It's just not. Oh, shit, man. Hold on a second. One moment, please. I had to get some whiskey. Where was I? Oh, yeah, Naked and Afraid, it's not really a compelling brand, right? It really needs something that's more, I don't know, communicates what the show's about, kind of sets the expectations better. I'm thinking what we should do is rebrand this thing into something like Ass Cracks and Misery, because that's really all the show's about. It's watching the tortured existence of these fucking people as they're wandering around, getting lots of ass shots for ratings, right? And watching them sit there and just go through this awful, awful time. And here's the kicker, kids. Are there cash prizes? Do they go ahead and get, like, a gaggle of fucking fans and money and all that sort of stuff? I'm just asking for a friend. Fuck no. No, they don't. You know what they get? They get a PSR rating. What the fuck is a PSR rating? Well, it's a primitive survival rating. It's an award or a score based upon all the other people that we've shoved out into this miserable existence of humanity over here, completely naked and exposed with, like, zero creature comforts and protection, and we just give them some arbitrary score. So let me get this straight, right? Are you saying to me that there's no cash prize at the end of this misery? So why in the fuck are people doing this? The best ones are when you go ahead and actually follow up and see what's happened to these people. And you would think that people would get the message that maybe they'd want to, I don't know, do like a Survivor-style thing. Okay, if I put up with 30 days of this shit, right? Maybe I'll get $1 million. Do we get $1 million in this fucking thing, man?
How about new?
Dude, do we even get a free Frosty from Wendy's? I'm just wondering, right?
How about new?
We don't get shit for this thing. What do we get? We get a fucking PSR rating. That's like saying, you know what? I'll go ahead and give you a credit score. How about that? You don't even have to fucking... It's like, oh my God. It's terrible. Fucking terrible, but brilliant, because when you think about it, you can basically inflict misery and create ratings on people at, like, zero fucking cost, right? I mean, it's one of the most fucking awesome business plans you could ever possibly imagine. So after watching that stuff, of course, I'm sure that our friends and our protagonists over here, they're not going to want to go into this shit, right? Wait, they only get the plague? Yeah, you know, Marco, something like that. Some of them actually... I saw this one, like, follow-up where they had three people who had actually gotten incurable diseases because of the fact that they not only drank impure water, but they were unable to get treatment in time for some of the diseases that they got. So this one woman got hit with this fucking hideous neurological disease, has difficulty walking now, but swears she'd do it all again if she had the opportunity. And you know, he just got.
I want to fuck.
Dude, let me tell you something. Get fucking paid if you're gonna do that, because who's gonna pay for your medical bills, you dumbass? At any rate. At any rate. So listen, man. I get that reality TV like that ain't for everyone, right? But TikTok has a very robust community that's reserved, you know, specifically for like time travelers posting videos from future post-apocalyptic dystopian futures. I know what you're saying. What the hell are you talking about, LP? Well, apparently, TikTok now has a very robust community of time travelers that somehow manage to bring back and post pictures of and video of the world like 6 years ahead of time. So on the social media user who goes by the name of at Inigo, or whatever the fuck, which translates to only survivor, this dude posted his first video on February 13th, and he claimed he was in the year 2027. And he walks through an empty street in Valencia, Spain, before the recording cuts to an empty clothing store. So, after his initial post, he has regularly shared videos with his, are we ready, kids? 1.2 million fucking followers.
I mean, what the fuck?
I'll say that again. 1.2 million followers. Why am I doing comedy and satire again? I should be posting a bunch of bullshit videos from the fucking future if I want to go ahead and build up my fan base. Jesus Christ, man. At any rate, so one of the little things that was interesting about this is each clip is obviously completely void of human activity with no other souls to see or hear from. Nobody else in the video. But there are a couple of little inconsistencies. It's the small things that matter. You know what I mean? The little things that catch you, like, I don't know, all the electricity in the fucking internet connection still seem to be available for them to upload their fucking video. Just make it up and post it, LP. Are you encouraging my bad behavior over here? You're saying that I should go ahead and, like, you know something? Maybe what I should start doing is, instead of having all this fluff and fun, I should be sitting there like I'm in the post-apocalyptic bunker of my basement trying to survive. I could eat like cans of cold Chef Boyardee ravioli and shit and talk about, like, you know, this is post-apocalyptic radio. LP Faust is your host here. Oh my God, it's terrible over here. Shit like that. I don't know. I'd support it. You know what I could do? I could put on like the Corey Feldman outfit from like, what was it? From the Lost Boys and shit. Fucking bandana, have my gun that I'm leaning on, you know, all that sort of shit. Oh, no, no, 1968 Planet of the Apes was based on, yeah, I know. So at any rate, that apparently seems to be the key to, like, building a fan base right now. And of course, you know, if that doesn't work, well, I can't help you. Because you know why? We have more important things to deal with. We can put dirt on the kids. Yes, exactly. Put the dirt on the kids' faces and make them sit there and look like they're, well, no, I'm not going to put the kids on the camera. Well, that's okay. We'll talk about that another time. At any rate, that brings us to a very important part in our show, the part that everybody loves. It's the great moments and just shut the fuck up, right? So who could be our winner this week? What brilliant freaking cultural icon could possibly be the winner of this week's great moments and just shut the fuck up? Well, kids, it couldn't be anyone other than Sharon fucking Stone, right? So Sharon Stone, it's okay. Crystal Pacheco, good to see you. Trust me, you'll know if this show's for you or not real quick. Just ask the people around you. So at any rate, Sharon Stone, she's out there basically sending a message to people who complain about actors like Christian Bale lashing out on the set of Grow Up. According to Sharon Stone, I would not say so much for myself, but I certainly say that I see that with such, you know, brilliant actors, Christian Bale, who completely transforms himself into someone else, whether he's playing George Bush or whether he's playing an anorexic or playing on OCD, you know, stockbroker, he becomes a different person. And people, you know, want to get up in his business when he's trying to completely transform into another person. Then he's like, get away from me. And then they want to criticize him for not being available to them. I find that a little bit, you know, maybe they should just grow up. You know what I'm saying? Oh, my God, man. Hey, Sharon, just want to remind you of something. You might have forgotten, okay? acting is just playing dress up and pretend all fucking day long. It's not saving the world or discovering a fucking cure for cancer. And on that subject, by the way, did you know that even those people under massive stress to do shit like creating vaccines in less than a year for a global pandemic, they have like certain minimal behavioral standards that they have to meet. Like, I don't know, not yelling at their coworkers, right? Listen, I'm sure your assistant who tolerates your endless bleeding of stupid questions and compulsory projectile vomiting of your unsolicited opinions on those trivial subjects never reminds you by shouting in your face what a superficial fame whore trolling for significance you really are. Am I right? So, it's called common fucking courtesy, okay? It's called a fucking filter. Society, Sharon, generally expects this type of behavior from children over the age of 4 who have that basic fucking understanding. And you know what? Who else they expect it from? They expect it from adults who dress up and play and pretend all day for a fucking paycheck and are legends in their own mind. So, just shut the fuck up and learn some manners already and stop excusing co-stars behaving in a way you wouldn't accept from your fucking assistant, okay? Great moment and shut the fuck up right there. And of course, we always have an honorable mention. Hey, Ive. Qua. Their honorable mention this week is actually not a popular person. Our honorable mention is somebody from the media. Mr. Michael Harriet from The Root. Why? Because Mr. Michael Harriet doesn't seem to understand the difference between editorializing and true journalism. So he puts out this bullshit article, Senator Tom Cotton is extremely concerned that we're not sending enough black people to prison. Let me stop right there, okay? We'll read just the first excerpt from this piece of fucking trash. America is racist. When I invoke the word racism in this context, I am not referring to a concocted liberal definition that excludes black people and progressive white people who will work in underprivileged communities with their Latinx nephew-in-law. I'm talking about the classic white definition of racism, the belief that race is fundamental determinant of human traits and capacities that racial differences produce inherent superiority of a particular race. I'm going to stop right there, okay? Did we at one point, any point in the beginning of that shit, actually hear the quote where Senator Tom Cotton allegedly said what he said? Huh? I'm just asking for a fucking friend over here, right?
Hello? How about you?
No, we didn't. So, like, based on the title alone, you would have expected that, I don't know, the opening paragraph would immediately show a direct quote or supporting evidence for an inflammatory remark. But, as expected, it's fucking clickbait. And, of course, after editorializing and bloviating about everything under the sun except what his clickbaity title suggests the article's about, Tom Cotton calling for a higher incarceration rate of black Americans specifically, it's not until 3 fucking paragraphs under the fold our hero admits Tom Cotton never said that. Quote, to be fair, Tom Cotton doesn't specifically mention black people. He just linked to an article about crime in, quote, major cities. You know, where immigrants and black people live. It's like me tweeting about America's major under-seasoning problem. Well, listen, perhaps former Senator Tom Cotton decided to tweet one of his fonts, and, you know, one of the fonts that CNN determined is racist out there, which potentially causes inflammatory remark to fucking happen, right? Listen, man, I'm the furthest thing from being a super fan of the parasite that Tom Cotton is. And just to be clear, the parasite that is Tom Cotton tweeted the following, quote, we have a major under-incarceration problem in America, and it's only getting worse. Hey, listen, man, I can't think of a single fucking person that's saying, hey, you know what we need to do? Let's increase incarceration rates. We need more fucking people in jail. No, that doesn't happen. Incarceration and prison reform are very serious problems which do need to be addressed. And your own implied dog whistle that fucking Tom Cotton and everyone affiliated with that party and of his particular persuasion are a bunch of racists looking to put more black Americans behind bars belongs in a sensationalist tabloid rag next to the story of this fucking Sasquatch getting rectally probed by aliens in a tell-all story, okay? So that being said, let's take a moment to provide you with some facts from a source I'd imagine you might trust, Mr. Harriet. How about from the fucking ACLU? According to the ACLU article dated on November 16, 2017, 91% of Americans polled say criminal justice needs to be fixed. 71% say it's important to reduce the prison population in America, including 87% of Democrats, 67% of independents, and 57% of Republicans. 52% of those Republicans were fucking Trump voters. So you know what? Why don't you fucking do a little bit of research, just a small smidgen, to stop pouring fucking gasoline on this fucking problem that we have over here. Virtually everyone across every fucking political persuasion race wants prison reform in America, you fucktard tabloid creative writer. Why? I'll tell you why. About 0.7% of the United States is currently in a federal or state prison or a local jail. If this number seems unworthy of the term mass incarceration, think about the fact that 0.7% is just shy of 1%, or 1 out of every 100 people in the United States. That's a population of 350 million. Or, if you want to look at it in a more grand scale, we have less than 5% of the world's population in the U.S., but 20% of the world's incarcerated people are right here. So do everybody a favor, sir. Find another shit pot to stir and just shut the fuck up already. Good fucking God, man. Can we all go ahead and actually have some fun for once and stop with all of this nonsense? It would be fucking wonderful to get back to life. All right, man, enough seriousness. See, I got agitated there for a second. You know what that means? That means I got to take a break and I got to drink some whiskey. That's what that means. God damn, I hate that dude. He should have probably fucking won it. So, hey, man, I'm Elmi Faust. I'm your host. I'm the cultural attaché to the stars. I'm going to burn this tape. I'm the cultural attaché to the stars. I'm the ringmaster of the shit show. You know me, man. Wow, did we get a little bit too serious there all the way in the beginning? I usually don't start the show that way. So I guess what wound up happening is maybe it was like all bottled up, or maybe I got some like inspirational talk from Ron on his Wednesday show where he's like, you know, that dude can rant like a fucking madman. And I'm like, dude, we got to work on your rant style over here. You know, maybe what I should do is I should give you classes, Ron. I don't know, like put some Rocky music in the background. Dun, 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 and we'll just get you screaming in the mic like me. We'll get you all lathered up and ready to go. You know what I'm saying? We'll put you in the boxing robe and the freaking, like, you know, boxing shorts and all that shit. It could be like, I don't know. Yeah, I was a bit inspired there, right? Oh, my God. All right, let's get to the fun shit here, right? Hey, I'll tell you what, kids. It's Friday night. I'm Elmi Faust. I'm your host. Well, we got a little bit too serious there, so now we've got to put it back to where the show normally is. You know, important topics, those cultural things that are going ahead and moving and shaking us like our bowels when we're about to go ahead and explode from projectile diarrhea over here. So what's the first thing that'll pop out and fall into the toilet? Well, remember, kids, since this is the cultural side of things, it's probably got a lot to do with hardware stores and cosmetic surgery and do-it-yourself stuff, right? Like, I don't know, a woman gets 5 years in jail for, like, injecting silicone into the ass of a woman over in freaking Missouri. Hey, Ron, there's probably somebody that's, like, right around the fucking, block from where you're at. I'm thinking what you should do is go ahead and check that person out. See if they can go and inject some freaking silicone in your ass cheeks and, I don't know, beef you up a little bit before, before Breeze comes over. Oh,
did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
Yeah, well, you know, Sharon Stone does trigger us, man. Well, at least me. Hey, Krim. Good to see you. So, yeah, this Dallas woman, so she's not even like a native Missourian, right? She's like a cast-off that comes in and sneaks behind into the border of freaking Missouri. And, well, she was sentenced to 5 years in prison for causing a nightclub dancer's death. Is this a kind way, like a euphemism for stripper, right? Nightclub dancer? Do we put air quotes around that? I'm just wondering. I'm asking as I'm reading this, right? So, like, she's getting 5 years in prison for causing a, quote, nightclub dancer's death by performing an illegal cosmetic butt injection on her in Missouri. So, apparently... Yeah, patient zero is like, probably, man. Prosecutors said Lee traveled from her home in Dallas to a hotel over in Edmondson. What in the fuck is Edmondson? Hey, Ron, is that like a real city or is that like made up? It sounds like a made-up city, like somebody went ahead and decided to take Edmonton over in Canada, you know, and, like, take an eraser and, like, wipe out one of the letters and try to, like, change where it's at. You know what I'm saying? At any rate, Edmonton, in a suburb near St. Louis's main airport, where she injected the liquid silicone. And Phillips, who 22, died 4 days later after the silicone entered her bloodstream and became trapped in her lungs. Krim, come to Missouri. There's butt injections. So now, kids, just remember, cosmetic surgeons use fat from elsewhere in the body for enhancements usually. But, you know, when you go over to one of these places, they can't afford to do that shit. So what did she do? She went over to the Home Depot. She got some silicone out of a fucking cock tube and injected it into this woman's ass. No, I'm not making that up. Yes, that's part of what's in the story. So just think about that. She went straight over to the Home Depot and she got a little bit of silicone freaking cock and she injected it in this woman's ass to go ahead and give her that plump, round, full look to it. You know what I'm saying? And I got AMR walking in here, shaking her head like, dude, what the fuck is wrong with you? First, you go off on your anti-racist rant type thing, and now you're talking about silicone cock injections to the ass. I'm like, hey, man, it fell into my news feed, all right? It's not my goddamn fault. I'm
Did
just
I make
saying.
Myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
Hey, man, when pickings are thin, like in the freaking world of the news and stuff like that, I got to go with what I got. That's all I've got. So if it's like ass implants from silicone freaking like cock guns, that's what you're going to get. And then you're going to get my patented view. Well, you know, then, of course, we've also got other parts of this. Since this is all about cosmetic surgery and do-it-yourself stuff, only this story, it's not so much about do-it-yourself. It's about think about what could possibly happen. First off, we talked a little bit, a couple weeks ago, about what exactly is inside of Botox, right? When you use Botox, you're basically, they make this stuff from botulin. Botulin is the shit that is inside of canned food when it's not properly treated that will kill you. Why are we putting up pictures of people's butts? Oh, my God, man. Do-it-yourself stuff. At any rate, man, so what winds up happening is what could possibly go wrong when you're, I don't know, putting, like, this fucking toxin in your face or wherever and killing off, like, nerve endings and shit. I don't know, maybe you could look like Bill the fucking cat over here, right? So apparently this influencer reveals what had happened to her when she had some botched Botox surgery. So she's a lifestyle blogger on TikTok, of course. Whitney Bua is getting real about the risks that come with cosmetic surgery. So she runs a blog called Something Witty, and she shared in March that her Botox injector placed the protein in the wrong place on her eye, causing her left eye to droop and her right eye to become extra wide open. Let's just stop there for a moment, okay? When you are not referring to the injector as a doctor, but as an injector, you might have a problem right out of the gate. I mean, I don't know. Call me alarmist if you want to. But perhaps you might reconsider that the person that's doing this might not be qualified. But I digress. So, Bua explained that after her usual visit, meaning she's done this many times before, she noticed her left eyebrow wasn't quite as high as her right eyebrow. And she went back to the clinic on the advice of her injector, not her doctor, to not fix it, but instead get 4 more units added to the left eyebrow in an attempt to even them out. What could possibly go wrong? Well, since sharing what happened, Bua has been sharing the regular updates with her followers, including daily side-by-side photos of the progress and conversations with the doctors and stuff. Now, we ask ourselves, what could possibly go wrong? One moment, please, while I pull the image up here on a snip. She tracks her progress over a couple of days. And, you can gradually see the transformation into fucking Bill the Cat over here. Take a look and see for yourself. So on Friday, she was looking quasi-normal. She had that sort of,
deep sort of comical, introspective, raised eyebrow look. And of course, by like Monday, things were looking a little bit on the fucking rough side. So my advice to you is, kids, when you're going to go do Jesus Christ, Gabriel, when you go do this, holy fuck, that just cracked me up. If you're going to go do this, maybe what you want to do is, I don't know, maybe get some fucking people that are going to go ahead and, I don't know, have a medical degree and not go to some fucking medical spa somewhere, right, where you're going to go over and be like, hey, you got a degree or some shit like that? Oh, well, you know, when I was in beauty school, I went ahead, like, in between learning how to wax scrotums, they taught us how to go ahead and inject Botox in your face. Do you feel comfortable with that? Oh, well, yeah, sure, man. I mean, Botox, sure, just shove it right in my fucking face. Dude, what the fuck is wrong with you? You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at this and I'm thinking to myself,
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, would you go to somebody and say, hey, listen, man, I need my appendix removed, right? Are you a doctor? Well, no, man. I went to beauty school the other day and they taught me how to just, like, pop that sucker out. No problem. So we're going to go to a hospital? No, man, we're going to fucking do it right here in the bathroom over there, okay? I'll make sure to go ahead and wipe down a little bit before we go and, pull your appendix out. Bro, it's about the same way, you know? Hi, I'm going to go ahead and inject this fucking poison in your face that could potentially damage and destroy the nerve endings of your face. And you might have, like, you know, curious side effects that could happen. Like, you might look like fucking Bill the Cat and, like, half your face is sliding off. You're going to look like an Escher drawing, dude. That's what you're going to fucking look like. You're going to look like a Salvador Dali painting, man. That's what we're talking about here. And then, of course, the person's like, that's exactly what I'm going for. I mean, what the fuck, man? What the ever-loving fuck?
How dare you?
Oh, my God. A fucking Salvador Dali painting. So listen, kids. The moral of the story is maybe we should just age gracefully and accept the flaws rather than, like, I don't know, racing to the local hardware store or for the freaking medical spa to get it fixed, right? And what we need is we need a poster child who just embodies all of these fantastic qualities of what we should be. Like, I don't know, this 16-year-old chick who's got a 5-inch middle finger. What? Yes, man, yes! So, basically, Olivia Murcia from Arizona, she's got an extremely fucking long middle finger. 5 fucking inches long, to be exact. I'm going to say it again, right? Fucking 5 inches long, dude. I mean, oh my fucking God.
Did I make myself clear? Because I am not going to write this shit down.
So at any rate, she's a very happy young girl. But that aside from it is that she's a 16-year-old. She's an aspiring model. And she showed off her finger on where else but fucking TikTok in a video that has now been viewed by more than 4 million fucking times. Holy fucking shit. I'm thinking to myself, listen, man, between really fucking long fingers, right? That's one of them. And being a fucking time traveler that's posting my shit from the future from some dystopian future, I'm doing my fucking promotions wrong. I'm just saying, man, I'm becoming inspired. Yeah, you missed the butt injections also, Clay. Oh, my God, man. So at any rate, she slipped 4 million times, and she never expected her finger to receive so much recognition, winning her more than 22,000 fucking followers on TikTok. I mean, come on, man. What in the fuck, man? No, 5 inches is not the average size of a finger. I'm just saying, man. So to prove the length of her digit, she held it up to her face, and the comparison left viewers stunned. Thinking back to the time, she remembers being really insecure about it, but now she's embracing the feature because her videos have caught the number of eyes from people in the modeling industry. So check this shit out, man. Instead of her going out and getting, like, you know, somebody injecting fucking silicone cock from the hardware store in her ass for butt injections, and instead of going ahead and getting a Salvador Dali-like fucking mask because somebody shot botulin in her fucking face in the form of Botox that they got from their fucking beauty school somewhere, she just says, I got a really fucking long finger. Aside from the fact it makes me very happy, I'm going to embrace it and show the world what they can think of it, right? Not only that, she says, if you think my finger's long, you should check out my toes. And I'm thinking to myself, hey, Carlos, do we want to check out her toes? I'm just saying, man.
No.
Holy fuck, man. She's E.T. So, oh, my God. Living Salvador Dali paintings, freaking E.T., and hardware store fucking beauty treatments, do-it-yourself style. That's what we've done up over here, man. Holy shit, I think I'm going to need a break now because I've got to recompose. Guess what, kids? We're going to listen to some music, and we're going to take a break here. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host. I'm the cultural attaché of the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. Wow, man, and just like that, we've got more than half the show gone. Can you believe that? Jesus Christ, that happened quick. At any rate, man, hey, I'm LP Faust. I'm your host. This is the cultural attaché. I am the fucking cultural attaché. It's not this is. Come on, Whiskey, get it right, okay? You're my co-pilot. For fuck's sake, man. You just go over there. Sit over there for right now. All right, man. Being distracted. Now we're back on task here. All right. So you're listening to Joculation here. I'm watching the conversation about coffee, and one of the greatest parts was I went over to Colonial Williamsburg a few years back. And we're sitting over there inside of Colonial Williamsburg, and of course, it's all like reenactment of things, of times like right around the Revolution and all that stuff, right? And we're having breakfast in the morning, and the thing about the Colonial Revolution is, of course, everybody got rid of or refused to drink tea, so coffee is what you're supposed to have. So they have a recreated coffee house from the times, like, you know, from the revolutionary times and all that shit. Well, we're sitting over, I think it was in the Green Dragon Inn or some shit like that, and as we're sitting there having breakfast, they have the reenactors come in, and this one guy's like, so, like, there's not a tea drinker in sight over here, is there? And, of course, AMR's drinking tea, and she's just like, don't pay attention to me. And we're all like, yeah. And the guy's like, so how do you drink your coffee? He's like, how do I drink my coffee? I like my coffee. What is it? Black as coal, thick as tar, strong as death. There we go. Black as coal, thick as tar, strong as death. So that about describes the way that LP likes his coffee. That creamer shit got to go away, man. You can go ahead and fortify it with some things occasionally if the festivities require it. But generally speaking, you know, black as coal, thick as tar, strong as death. Well, I'll tell you what, since we've reached this point here, and it's still kind of a cultural thing, we really need to address a very serious cultural issue that is plaguing America here. You know, there's the whole orgasm gap that's going on with women, and, you know, that's an important topic, and yes, it's definitely something that really must be addressed. But more importantly, people, we need to go ahead and acknowledge that stuffies are to play with. They're not to go ahead and sexually assault inside of places like Target. That's right, kids. Cops say that this person, Cody Meter, was busted in St. Petersburg, Florida Target in October of 2019. Store employee told officers that Meter kicked off his sexual frenzy by dry humping a unicorn before turning his attention to Olaf the doll. The Disney enthusiast began rubbing his genitals against two stuffed animals before, quote, pleasuring himself to completion with the Olaf character.
I mean, what the fuck?
The stuffed toys were destroyed, Target staff said, citing, quote, circumstances. Now, following the incident, he confessed to, quote, doing stupid stuff. And his dad told officers he has a history of this type of behavior. So all I'm thinking about as I'm looking at this story, aside from the fact that I'm thoroughly fucking confused, and
how dare you?
How could you do that to fucking Olaf? And more importantly, I'm guessing like Olaf's milkshake brings all the boys to Target, right? I mean, come on, man. Seriously?
I mean, what the fuck?
Jesus Christ. You know, Hunter Biden's tell-all book is coming out, and he claims to have smoked more Parmesan cheese than any human being, and talks about his obsession with making and starring in porn films with prostitutes. Somehow I get the impression, I will not even be mildly surprised if there's a chapter about sex with stuffies during a bender. You know what I'm saying? Oh my fucking God. And you know, one would think that it's an isolated incident, right? And of course, is it an isolated incident? I mean,
how about news?
Of course not, because LP's feed centered on this shit. And the next thing you know is it's not only Olaf that's like, you know, being assaulted, but apparently Elmo's milkshake brings people to town, too. A Michigan home inspector allegedly masturbated with an Elmo doll while on the job in a child's bedroom. Well, let me say it again. A Michigan home inspector allegedly masturbated with an Elmo doll while on the job in a fucking children's bedroom or a child's bedroom, right?
I mean, what the fuck?
So Kevin Wayne Van Leuven was hired by home buyers to inspect a home in Oxford Township March 12th and was allowed into the house with the buyer's real estate agent by the owners, who left while the inspection was underway. While she was out, one of the owners received a webcam alert on her phone that movement had been detected in the nursery. That's when she saw Van Leuven masturbating. Now, that's not the gross part. As the camera recorded, Van Leuven then picked up the Elmo dog from the floor and appeared to pleasure himself with the doll. So, exactly. That was what I was wondering too, Gabriel. Was it a Tickle Me Elmo? Was it sitting there laughing and playing as it's getting used as effectively a rag to wipe with? Oh my God, poor fucking Elmo. So please, for the love of God and everything that's holy, leave the fucking stuffies alone, man. They didn't do anything to you. More importantly, they're not there to be sexually assaulted, man. Freaking Tickle Me Elmo shouldn't be sitting there screaming for help over a fucking phone. Exactly. Please, please put me down. Don't do this. You know, but instead going, oh, God, what a fucking terrible thing. Was that just a little over the top? I'm thinking, yeah, you know what? When it's over the top, we need nearly dead Ric Flair, don't we? Of course. At any rate, man, I'm going to take another quick break just like that. Bang. You know why? Because I have so much stuff I've still got to go ahead and push out, and music, too. And so what we've got to do is just adhere to the schedule. Hey, man, I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. Don't worry, there's more. As I'm sitting here listening to the music, watching the banter, and all that sort of stuff, and doing the things that I do while the music is playing, you know, because there's a lot of shit that I do over here. You know, hope it should pollute my feed, but I'm seeing here that basically it's your loud, quiet party over there, Krim. Maybe what you can do, you know what would be great is if my computer would cooperate with me. That ain't cooperating with me, computer. I'm just saying. Here we go. What we could do is at your really loud, quiet party, we could go ahead and actually sit there and get COVID tested because a Dutch researcher determined that screams, not swabbing, potentially is a better way of going ahead and determining whether or not you're infected with the cooties. You know what I'm saying? The COVID-19 cooties. So apparently, instead of an unpleasant nasal swab test, Peter Van Wees, what a name, asked participants to step into an airlocked cabin and scream or sing. And an industrial air purifier collects all of the particles emitted, which are then analyzed for the virus. So what we could do is, oh, quote, if you have coronavirus and are infectious and yelling and screaming, you're spreading tens of thousands of particles which contain the virus. There might be just a small problem with this great piece of technology. A swab probably costs you, like, I don't know, 10 cents. Creating a fucking industrial air room with a purifier that collects all the micron particles and all that shit for analysis, well, that might just be a little bit more expensive. So it might be just a tad cost prohibitive. But what I'm thinking is, if we're all shouting over in your quietest party ever, your quietest loud party, why don't we all just get COVID tested anyways too, right? We could all just like jam ourselves into the same room. That way, if somebody's got the cooties, we all have the cooties. You know what I'm saying? All for one, one for all. You know what I'm saying. At any rate, man, we've got maybe, I don't know, 30 minutes left in the show. How about that? Are we happy about that? Well, some of us are. At least some of us are. So in this wonderful world of the NFTs, apparently now what they're doing is that fantastic robot that they created and gave citizenship to over in like Saudi Arabia. I believe her name is Sophia. Well, guess what? Yeah, there you go. Exactly, Ron. She is like the perfect person for COVID testing, right? Oh, shit. At any rate, now apparently she's doing NFT art as well. So a 12-second MP4 file titled Sophia Instant instantiation, I guess it is, and accompanying physical printout sold for $688,000 at an auction in Hong Kong in what may be the first ever sale of a piece of artwork by a robot. The piece shows a portrait of Sophia done by Italian digital artist Andrea Bonicetto and how it evolves into a digital painting done by Sophia. Quote, I'm making these artworks, but it makes me question what is real, Sophia said. How do I really experience art? But also, how does an artist experience an artwork? Did I do that well? I think so. So, like, I'm sitting here thinking to myself the other day, right? We were talking about how they went ahead and have this grave warning, cybersecurity people everywhere, that sex bots are going to be the new weapons that they're going to go ahead and have, and they're going to freak out, and they're going to go ahead and kill all of us. I'm wondering, right, if we're going to see Sophia sitting over in the corner, smiling, you know, in that, like, awkward, kind of, like, crazy fucking person smile, as she's sitting there drawing all kinds of NFT artwork. Like, I was watching this this documentary called Boiled Angels, and it was all about a guy who created all kinds of, like, offensive comics that went to the edge of what was perceived to be acceptable by society, if you will. And it had tremendous amounts of ultraviolence in it, and the dude got censored in about 5 seconds. So what winds up happening is, So he winds up going ahead and getting censored and all that insanity. I'm just thinking that maybe this chick, Sophia, we should make her go ahead and draw some of these NFTs like the Boiled Angels style, where she's basically lopping people's heads off, making them look like it's Judgment Day from the fucking Terminator movie. Let's see how fast that shit sells over on the NFTs, huh? And then we got another guy over here in NFT world who went ahead and bought Mars House. Now, it's from artist Krista Kim. And apparently this... wrong link, dude. Come on now. Come on. Let's try it again. There we go. Yes. So Krista Kim, and she created this NFT called Mars House. Someone's buying it for 288 Ether. So it was more or less around 360,000 pounds. So Krista went and actually took a look at this and says, it makes perfect sense to buy a virtual property because humanity will, quote, be living in an augmented reality lifestyle within a very short period, suggesting it'll only be a couple of years before we're as comfortable in virtual spaces as we are in our brick-and-mortar homes. We're going to be decorating our environments and our personal space, our fashion, just like tattoos. People express themselves with tattoos. It's an art form. Well, people are going to express themselves in digital assets and decorative pieces and collectibles, fashion, and accessories. And I'm kind of wondering to myself, right? I don't think that people are going to necessarily spend, on average, $366,000 freaking dollars or whatever it is to go and get a digital tattoo, if you will. Is it that way right now? Sure, I guess. But is it going to be that way forever? Don't know. We'll have to go ahead and see how it's going to work out. But ultimately, what's interesting is it appears as though the NFT craze, it reminds me so much of the 2017 ICO craze. We'll see if it actually ends differently. That would be cool to go ahead and actually see what the story is. And yeah, augmented reality is a future, but I'll tell you, there's really cool shit that's out there with augmented reality. One of the things that I have over in my house is I have something for my son, who's all of like 4 years old, starting to learn through augmented reality. And part of what that does is it actually gives you, it's cool to see the program that they're using interact with the motions and things that he's doing to change what he's seeing over on the screen. And it's really, really killer to go ahead and watch it as an educational instrument. Entertainment, I think it's still got ways to go, but it's still going to be pretty cool. I don't know. We'll see how it all works out. Eventually, Judgment Day will come because Sophia's going to go ahead and fucking take over after she draws her fucking crazy, weird Boiled Angels artwork. And then from there, you know, I mean, it's going to be Judgment Day and they'll be driving over a bunch of fucking skulls and we'll all be dead anyway. So what are you going to do, right? Hey. All right, man, I'm going to go ahead and take a break here because that's what we're going to do. Hey, man, you're listening to Joculation. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host this evening. We're about to go ahead and actually, you know, do our normal recap of all of the crazy shit that we've experienced this evening. Some of the stuff we'd prefer to have unseen, but, you know, it is what it is. But before we do that, Let's talk about the journey of one TikToker. God, I hate that fucking platform. But let's talk about the journey of that one TikToker that thought he was an only child, but then after he took an ancestry DNA test, found out he's got 30 siblings. That's right, man.
I mean, what the fuck?
So TikTok username Andy Nabil has shared his incredible ancestry DNA journey, which resulted in him discovering that he isn't an only child. He actually has 30 brothers and sisters. I mean, what in the hell, man? Ugh. So he shares his story, and in the video, he's sitting there and talking, and he explains how his results showed that he had a number of siblings, and it kind of goes like this. He says, I took a DNA test back in December and was like, huh, this is kind of weird. My dad told me he was mostly French, English, and I was like, this is strange. I wonder why Ireland is higher than that. That's pretty fucking offensive because of the fact that, man, Irish are the salt of the earth. I should know. You know what I'm saying there? But I digress, man. He then shows the listed members and their test results would have a different man listed in place of his dad. Like, all right, yeah, that's my mom. Who the fuck is that? That's not my dad. He continues, after a quick Google search, I found this, which is my sperm donor dad and 15 of my siblings that I didn't know about were partying in Mexico. I woke up 2 days later thinking, hold on, thinking I was an only child, and now I find out that I'm the second oldest of 31. So his TikTok video has been viewed more than a million times, garnering over 300,000 likes. In the comments, he goes on to claim that he bought the DNA testing kits for himself and his parents for Christmas, yet they gave him no warning about the results. But when questioned about his biological father, they confirmed it was all true. He added that finding his siblings has been, quote, the most amazing experience of his life. Dude, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. What a fucking Christmas that had to be. That was such a fantastically awesome fucking Christmas. Oh, hey, look, I've got DNA tests. And you know the parents are sitting there going, ah, fuck. Fuck, we're in trouble. Holy shit, that was great. All right, man. We got to do a recap because we're like running out of time real fast. So what did we cover tonight? First, at the beginning of the show, which some of you may have missed, we covered the wonderful world that LP grew up in, where his junior high school was like right at the end of Cocaine Alley over back in my days of living over in Miami. Then we talked also about like the final two passengers have been named for an all-civilian mission to orbit Earth on SpaceX. And of course, you know, we talked about all the stupidity of what's going on inside of that. And we suggested that given the fucking setbacks, the history of setbacks and violent explosions of Elon Musk's SpaceX engines, true charity would have been to replace the crew with the Kardashians and open a betting line on their survivability. That way, society benefits either way. So we went through that. We also talked about the fantastically wonderful inspirational quotes Joss Whedon told Gal Gadot on the Justice League set to, quote, just shut up and say the lines, and he can make her look incredibly stupid in this movie. And beyond that, we went and talked about Naked and Afraid and the woman who had, like, biting insects crawling up into her vaginal lips to go ahead and stay warm for the evening, and how that didn't seem to work out for her. But that's okay. Her PSR rating just shot through the fucking roof because, well, I mean, she was sitting there miserable, humiliated on TV, and probably has some incurable disease from drinking the water out in a place that she shouldn't have been, much less been naked. And then, of course, we talked about our good friend the time traveler, who claims to have gone 6 years in the future where humans are now extinct. So they'll be able to go with, like, DMX. Yeah, right, Cly? Because we talked about that one, too. At any rate, so beyond that, our great moments in Just Shut the Fuck Up winner this week was Sharon Stone with her fantastic message, to people who complained about actors like Christian Bale lashing out on set to just, quote, grow up. And we told her, well, you know what, why don't you just go shut the fuck up? And then the honorable mention went to that fantastic writer, Michael Harriet from The Root, who couldn't seem to quote Senator Tom Cotton, accurately. And decided to go ahead and create some Bigfoot propaganda bullshit and some inflammatory racist nonsense that he pawned off his news. But I mean, hey, you know, if you're going to throw a little gasoline on the fire, at least get a few followers for your social media account. Know what I'm saying there? And then, of course, we got the do-it-yourself cosmetic surgery section where a woman got 5 years in jail for killing somebody with butt injections of silicone cock because, you know, it makes a fantastic ass. I mean, I suppose it's a step up from, like, you know, Botoxing the wrinkles out of your nutsack, but speaking of Botox, we talked about Whitney Bua as she revealed what happened to her when her Botox went seriously wrong, and she became like a living embodiment of a Salvador Dali painting, you know, or an Escher drawing. Holy fuck, she had like the Bill the Cat look going on there. And then we had this fantastic woman that shows the world, we don't need to fix ourselves. Let's just go ahead and actually show our 5-inch fucking middle finger. But she still warms. Her toes are worse, so at some point in the future, I'm sure if you're over on TikTok, your feed's going to be polluted with those freaking tremendously long toes of hers because, you know, she's probably a descendant of E.T. And then we got dudes, you know, the people that were just absolutely sexually assaulting stuffies for no reason. We have the one dick that was busy, you know, fucking an Olaf doll in the middle of a Target store. And, of course, he just got psychiatric evaluation. And then we got the home inspector who basically decided to sexually abuse Elmo while he's sitting over there allegedly doing a home inspection over in the fucking nursery. And then on top of that, what else did we cover in here? Let's go through. We started covering NFTs a bit. We talked about the crazy fucking Sophia the robot. She's now doing NFT artwork and the world's going crazy. And somebody spent £360,000 on a fucking Martian house landscape type thing NFT. She spent 288 ether. And you know what, Clay, you and I much have the same viewpoint. Listen, if she's going to make a shitload of money off of it, I got no ill will towards her, you know? And then we just wrapped up over here with our good friend who went ahead and discovered that he's got like 31 fucking siblings, 15 of which were partying down over in Mexico after he decided, you know what, it's Christmas. Let's go ahead and take a family DNA test. You know what I mean? So it's been a busy fucking night tonight. That's all I'm saying over here. And money laundering. Yes, I keep forgetting. The true purpose of an NFT is not to monetize digitized assets. It's to launder money, right? But then again, art has always been that way. It's not like art has been used for anything other than that. I mean, realistically, who's going to pay millions of dollars for a couple of swirls on a canvas? Only people that are trying to go ahead and, I don't know, launder their money. I suppose in some cases, there's an argument to be made that there's some liquidity to artwork, but it is what it is. I suppose now that we've got non-fungible tokens, we'll just put those in air quotes, you know, now we got more liquid markets so that we can just launder the money more effectively, right? Something like that. Holy shit, man. So it's been a busy night. And, you know, I'm saying, Rod, next time, just give Angelica the fucking room to have her, you know, Spanish talk show or whatever over inside of here. She could have her telenovela in here before I come in, man. Get on that, dude. Do something. And we got to go ahead and work on your rant skills a little bit. So I'll go ahead and I'll give you a class on that shit, right? Oh, man. Cocaine Kingpins, man. That was fucking great. Quick story before I go. So over in my the AMA that I had put up there, I talked about all kinds of stuff like, you know, when I had a brush with a serial killer and all that stuff. One of the more interesting things was I was in a place where there was a workplace shooting. So we had a live shooter and all that sort of shit. Dude shot up a bunch of people. That in and of itself is pretty fucked up. But what was more fucked up is when one of the guys that got shot happened to be in the witness protection program because he had testified against Willie Falcone, the fucking drug kingpin from Colombia. And yeah, that was an interesting thing. Maybe we'll go ahead and talk about it a different time. But finding out, you know, having the news break as, you know, as he's recovering over in one of the hospitals that, oh, so-and-so is here and he's testifying against Willie Falcone and blah, blah, blah. It's like, holy fuck, dude, you just killed this guy. And somehow he didn't get killed because like months later he showed up over at work and he's like, just wanted to let you guys know I'm still alive, but I gotta go. And on that note, man, I think we're gonna go ahead and end the show. So thanks for everybody that went ahead and came out. Appreciate it. Thanks for everybody that stopped and stayed by or had to leave early. We'll go ahead and catch you on a future, you know, maybe on a future recording or something like that. But, you know, as William Shakespeare once said, all the world's a stage. As we strut and fret across the stage of life, Always be sure to ask yourself, why watch the show when you can be the show? I'm LP Faust checking out. Take care. Good night. Catch you next week. Goodbye.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Joculation. We hope you enjoyed the episode and encourage you to join us for the live interactive social broadcast every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoy Joculation, I have another podcast you might like, Everyday Crazy. Search for them and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this right now. If you're listening over a smartphone, tap or swipe over the cover art of the podcast. You'll find show notes which may include details you may have missed and links to my Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon pages. If you'd like to hear more of Joculation and other shows from LP, in addition to extra content, early access, merchandise, and other perks, you can subscribe to my Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/LPFaust. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram. Please be sure to follow me on Twitter @FaustLP and Instagram @LPFaust. And thank you. Joculation is created, produced, hosted, and edited by me, LP Faust. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.